God's grace and his mercy on this All Saints Sunday to all of God's saints here on earth. From Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, this is All Saints Sunday, and when we generally remember the saints who've gone before us, our loved ones who've died and in the Lord and are now resting from the labors with God and Christ in heaven. And today I'd like to ask this question. Will we know and recognize our loved ones in heaven? Will we continue our relationships with them? Will we see them again face to face, remember them, recognize them, continue our relationships with them, and rejoice with them in the kingdom to come? That's an important question, because sometimes we have this idea that slips into our minds like, oh my goodness, I'm going to die, and my slate's going to be wiped clean, and even if my loved one and I are both saved, we'll not recognize each other, and it's just going to be a whole start over, a do-over type of thing. Or do we continue our relationships with them on an even higher, most wonderful plane that God has prepared for his saints? Let's talk about that today and see if God has some joy and hope for us in his holy word, because that's where we got to hear the truth. Amen?
Amen?
How else are we going to know about things unseen unless God tells us in his book? And he actually tells us a whole lot of things about this. And so let's take a look at that today and see what Jesus, what the apostles, what God our Father has for your comfort and joy that's ahead of you in the kingdom to come for his saints. Will we remember and recognize our loved ones in heaven who have gone before us in the Lord? What's God say about that? Well, first, let's open up to John chapter 11, the gospel. Jesus is just about to raise Lazarus from the dead. Remember the story? And he sees Mary and Martha. And it says here that Mary, when she came where Jesus was, verse 32, and saw him, she fell at Jesus' feet, saying to him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews had come where they were also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit, and he's troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And it says, Jesus wept. Now, doesn't that sound strange to you? He's arriving here to raise the man from the dead, right? In about 10 minutes, he's going to say, Lazarus, come out. And he's going to come out of that tomb alive. He's the resurrection and the life. Jesus is. Amen? And yet, note what Jesus does here. He weeps. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And that teaches us that God understands your pain and your sorrow when you've lost one of your loved ones in the Lord who have died and gone before you. He relates to you. He understands. He deeply feels this. This is acknowledged throughout the scriptures. Remember Paul, he talks about a guy named Epaphroditus. He was near to death, Paul says, but God had mercy on my friend Epaphroditus. And Paul says, and on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow if he were to have died. So God acknowledges it's terrible, it's difficult when your loved ones die. But is there hope? Well, let's see what first Psalm 56, David says this. Listen carefully. He says, you have kept, O Lord, count of my tossings. You've put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in thy book? Do you think, now, how many of you have had loved ones that have died in the Lord? Mom, dad, husband, wife, children. Do you know, yeah, probably everybody here. Do you know that God has written down all of your tears? He's inscribed them in his book. He remembers them. They're very, very precious to him. And precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, says scripture. But now we need to ask, is there any hope? Is there hope for us? Well, let's take a look in general here. First in First Thessalonians 4. And Paul is addressing a congregation of Christians who are concerned for their loved ones who have died before the Lord came. They're like, are we going to see them again? They're concerned. They're grieving. And Paul says this, verse 13, but we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, in other words, those who have died, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. What does that mean for a Christian? Do you have hope? Yes. You're not grieving like the rest of the world if they lose a loved one and they're not in Jesus Christ, and that's a whole different story than a Christian. As Christians, you have hope. You don't grieve as others do who have no hope. There is hope for you. What kind of hope do we have? Well, let's take a look at what happens to us when we die. What happens to a Christian, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, saved, when that person dies. What happens? Well, Paul tells us very clearly. Paul's in prison in Philippians in this letter when he wrote it. He was about to possibly be put to death, or he might be released, and he was not sure which would happen to him. And he says, "It's my eager expectation and hope that I shall not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." Watch this. He says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Would you all say gain?
Gain.
That's advantage, okay? It's gain to die. He says, "If it's to be life in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. In other words, I can keep ministering to you. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two." In other words, whether he wants to live or die. He says, "My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." Think about that. His heart, he says, when we die as a Christian, it's far better. Say far better, if you would. Because it is to be with Christ. So says the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit. So what happens when you die? You just sort of drift off and go away, or go into some sort of soul sleep, and you're unconscious, and you're just sort of blah. Okay? If you did that, it certainly wouldn't be far better. You are with Christ, alive, awake, conscious, fully aware. We live in Cape Canaveral, do we not? Anybody here not live in Cape Canaveral? All right, well, you see ships going over the horizon. Do you assume that when they go over the horizon, they've perished? And that these people are unconscious and asleep and just blah, as I said, right? They go over the horizon, they continue to another country. And as Christians, we continue to a better country. It says in Hebrews. It's not the end. You're alive and awake and conscious there. And let's now go back to 1 Thessalonians, which we read a moment ago. "We would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep." In other words, at the resurrection. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Is there comfort for you today of your loved ones in the Lord who've died? Absolutely. Your body, when you die, of course, goes into the grave. It goes back to dust. But your spirit, your soul, is with Christ in heaven, far better. At the last day, when Jesus returns with the great trumpet, God will raise up his people. The dead in Christ in the earth will rise, and then we who are alive shall be caught up, and we'll all meet together with the Lord coming down in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. And there's two great things about that word. We shall be with the Lord. That's the best part, right? But it's also we shall be with the Lord. Together, all of us with the Lord. And then he says, comfort one another with these words. There's comfort for a Christian. There's good hope. There's actually more than just good hope. There's certainty, because it's based upon the truth of God's word and promise from a God who can't lie. This is the way it's going to be. And this is just how it is. And so there is a great hope for a Christian of seeing your loved one again. But then you say, but will we remember each other? Will we recognize each other? Or will we just sort of be slate wiped clean, starting over ground zero? And I'll be like, who on earth are you? Who on earth are you? Let's start and make friends. No. Or is it a continuation of your love and your relationship here? Well, will you recognize, was Jesus recognized when he was resurrected from the dead? You know, on that day when they're going to Emmaus, remember those two disciples? And they met Jesus on the road. And it says, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. In other words, if they had not been kept from recognizing them, and their eyes then being closed and concealed, they would have recognized him right away, right? They were prevented from seeing and recognizing him. But then, at the Lord's Supper, that is when Jesus is breaking the bread, that is, and it says, then he was revealed to them, their eyes, they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. They did what? The scripture says they recognized Jesus. They remembered him, their relationship with him, of course, continued after he died and was raised from the dead. But you might say, well, of course, the people that saw Jesus, though, they were still alive. They hadn't died. Their slates weren't wiped clean yet. Let's get away from that whole slates wiped clean scenario, right? Let's just settle that right here, okay? That's not true. Will we recognize our families and friends again in heaven? Can we prove that from Scripture? Well, remember this story from Matthew chapter 17. Jesus, when he was transfigured before his people, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, led him up to a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, his garments became white as light. And behold, there appeared to him Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's well that we're here. If you wish, I'll make 3 booths here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Do you see any problem with this? He never knew Moses and Elijah. How did Peter even know who these guys were? They lived thousands, hundreds of years before. And yet he says, I know Jesus, and I know Moses, and I know Elijah. Even though I never met them, I recognize them. Guess what? If he recognized people whom he'd never even met before, saints who had died in the Lord, how much more those whom you do know? Amen? They were recognizable, says Scripture. But I thought we'd forget all the people and the things we knew in this life. When we go into heaven, we'll just sort of forget and not remember these things. Is that really true? When you die, do you forget this life? Is it totally gone and you don't have any memory of it anymore? Of course, to a fleshly mind, you look at a casket, it looks like the guy doesn't remember anything else. And indeed, his body is dead, or her body is dead. But how about your soul, I'm telling you? Is it awake and alive and alert, still conscious and feeling and remembering? Let's take a look. Jesus, when he comes in his glory at the last day, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, he'll come with all his angels with him. He'll sit in his glorious throne. Before him will be separated the sheep from the goats, right? All nations will be gathered. He'll separate them, the sheep from the goats, the righteous from the unrighteous. He'll say to those at his right hand, the king will, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. And then what do these people on his right say? Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you drink? When did we were a stranger and we visited you and welcomed you? What are they doing? What are the saints doing? They're remembering. They're thinking back. They're filing through the memory of their life, and they're like, we don't remember ever seeing you when we did these things. And he says, as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. But notice, they're remembering their life, right? And the same thing with the wicked. He says, you didn't do these things for me. And they're saying, when did we see you? We're thinking. We're remembering all of our lives. We don't remember seeing you, Jesus. He says, as you did it not to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. So can you remember your former life when you're in heaven? Yes or no? Yes, of course. According to Scripture, they're doing this, right? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but the ones who do the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Do many mighty works in your name? They're remembering. Amen? Amen. And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of evil, the ones who did not follow Christ. So they remember. Remember that. And do you remember that story from Luke chapter 16, Lazarus and the rich man? Lazarus was the poor man, and he desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table, and the dogs came and licked his sores. It says, when Lazarus died, the poor man, Jesus says, the angels came and carried him to Abraham's bosom, where he was comforted. But the rich man also died, and he was buried, and he was in Hades being in torment. And he actually does what? He recognizes Lazarus, and he says, I know that man. Send him over here to dip his water and finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in anguish in these flames. He recognizes Abraham. He recognizes Lazarus. And is he conscious? Is he alert? Does he feel? Does he think? Does he reason? He tries to reason with Abraham, and Abraham says, you know, gives him the answers. And then does he remember his family on earth? He says, then Abraham, if I can't get over to you, at least send Lazarus or somebody to speak to my 5 brothers, for I've still got 5 brothers back there on earth, right? And so let him warn them that they might not also come with me into this place of torment. What is he doing? He's dead, right? He's dead. Is he remembering his life on earth? Does he still remember his five brothers that are on earth? And he's concerned for them? Do you think in the inverse of that, you have a loved one who's died in the Lord, they're still remembering you right this very minute in heaven, thinking on you and remembering in you and saying, you know, God, send your Holy Spirit into Pastor Greg today to encourage my people, my loved ones in the Lord, that they may be comforted. Yeah, it's possible. But I know that they're thinking. They can remember these things. And it's ridiculous to have the saints die and be some sort of memoryless zombies up in heaven, right? What kind of God would that be? God's a God of joy and a God of life. So let's take a look then. What joy does await you in heaven with your loved ones? Well, let's consider this. You ever enjoy eating with your loved ones? How about you lost a spouse? You remember your first date? Going out to dinner? Wasn't that a wonderful intimate communion you had with them? How about when you fed your little baby in the high chair and gave that little, you know, I remember when we fed Naomi her first vegetables and she was like, kind of spit them out. But it was such a precious moment for me. And the time you have when you're a family at table, at a meal, do you think you're ever going to eat with your loved ones again? Or are those days gone and by? Well, guess what? Jesus tells us, we got the Lord's Supper here. When he instituted the Lord's Supper, he says to his disciples, I tell you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of this vine until the day that I drink it new with you in my kingdom. What does that tell you? This is really not the Last Supper, friends. This is the foretaste of a feast to come until I drink it again with you new in my kingdom. You're going to sit at my table. We're going to sit down and eat. We're going to sit down and drink together, you and your Lord, your Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? But that's not all. We also sit at table with all the other saints. Jesus says, I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom, that is those who were called but refused, will be thrown into the outer darkness. So guess what? You're not only going to know Jesus at this table as Christians, you're going to know Abraham. You're going to get to sit with Isaac and Jacob and recline with table before the Lord and with all your loved ones in the Lord, have died in the Lord, and are likewise as well saints and saved. Is this not good news? Can I get a hooray or something? This is our God. This is his word. I'm not just spouting Greg's philosophy of life after death. What would that be? This is from the God who this is his country, okay? And he's telling you this is what it's going to be like. You've never been across the sea to this country. He says, I'm from there. This is my city, and this is how it's going to be. And so that's a wonderful comfort. We're not grieving as other people do who don't have any hope on non-Christians. We have a great hope in Jesus Christ. Fantastic. And do you know that with your loved ones and with the Lord, you're going to sit with Jesus on his throne, who sits with his Father on his throne, and you're going to judge angels? It says in 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know, says Paul, that the saints will judge the world? And if the world's to be judged by you, are you competent to try trivial cases? They're having trouble on earth with their judgments. He says, do you not know that we are to judge angels? Would you picture yourself right there? You know that you're harassed day and night by demons trying to make you doubt and cause trouble for you? And they're going to come one day before you on the throne with Jesus. Paul says, do you not know that we are to judge angels? They're going to come and bow down, and you're going to pass judgment on them with the Lord being the judge. You're going to enter into his judgment against them. Now, I want to ask you, would you put a judge on a throne who's a memoryless zombie? Would you put a judge on a throne who has Alzheimer's, who can't remember one thing from the next? All right? Your minds are going to be made so sharp and clear on that day as judges as to be, as Trump would say, it'll make your head spin. Okay? He's always saying that, right? Everything's going to make your head spin. But this will make your head spin. No, won't you be so clear, you're going to know everything. You're going to be so clear in your mind with your loved ones, and you're going to judge angels. And that's also a great hope, by the way, if anybody has Alzheimer's, you're going to be totally renewed. You're going to be so sharp, it's going to be unbelievable. And what will abide, says Paul? He says, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So does love continue? God's word says it is going to abide. It is something that is forever. Faith, you don't need it in heaven. Hope, you already got what you were looking for, the prize. Love abides forever and ever and ever. For our God is love. And think about this. Who do you think God is anyway? What sense would there be for us to forget people whom we knew. In Revelation, we see the saints as a great multitude gathered around the throne. We read that, right? And what do they sing? And they cry and they praise God with a thunderous voice of applause, as in a great coliseum before Jesus Christ. They say, Revelation 7, salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. Now, how are you going to do that if you don't remember nothing? Right? You're going to be like, who am I? Who's this Jesus? What am I doing here? What am I praising him for? That's ridiculous. Put that thought out of your minds right now. We're going to remember that we were lost, condemned sinners, and that Jesus is our great Savior, and he gave us a great salvation. And that's what we're praising him for, right? And what about your rewards? God's going to reward you on that great day. And how? What are we going to do if we don't remember anything from this life? We're like, these rewards, what are these? Where do these come from? What are these for? Who am I? Who are you? Come on, guys. That's ridiculous. You're going to know what you're getting these things for. And banish the thought from your minds, for we're going to remember these things, says the scripture. And how elevated is your going to be your intimacy with your loved ones in Jesus Christ? Okay? How close will you be? Well, Jesus had a question asked him by the Sadducees this time, instead of the Pharisees. Hey, a guy has a woman has a husband. He dies. The brother comes and becomes her husband, and this happens 7 times. She's got 7 husbands who died. She bore no children. In the resurrection, Jesus, whose wife will she be? They're trying to trick him. Of course, Jesus isn't going to have any of that. But Jesus says, isn't this the reason you're wrong? Because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Do you know that your intimacy on earth, the best we can think of, is marriage? Now, it doesn't always work out the best. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Okay? But that's the best we got on earth. One, 2 people becoming one. Jesus says in heaven, it's going to be so super abundantly better than that. You're not going to have that in the resurrection. Your relationship with your deceased spouse or your friend or your brother or sister is going to be so super better than that. Marriage won't even come to mind. You're going to be that much more intimate with them. And by the way, he says, as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the book, a bush, how God spoke to Moses, saying, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not God of the dead, but of the living. Who's your deceased relative you're missing today? I'm sure you got some. Mom, dad, husband, wife, brother, sister, friend. Jesus says, he's not God of the dead, but he's the God of the living. If they've died in the Lord, they've been believed in Jesus, he died to bring us to God. He died, the righteous one for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. What's the sense in saying, I go to prepare a place for you, unless he went to prepare a place for you, and you're alive with him in his house up there, and you're waiting this wondrous day of the Lord's coming. And on the Lord's day of his coming, at the last day, what's going to happen? Even your body that was laid into the earth, into that casket, will be raised from the dead. It's the hope of the Christian, the resurrection of the dead. I tell you a mystery, says Paul. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Okay. Da-da-da. All right, the trumpet. The trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Anybody want a body like that? Imperishable? That doesn't fade out, grow old, get sciatic nerve like I got right now? I'm so happy for that. I'm looking forward to that. Jesus says you'll shine like the sun in the kingdom of your Father. God says by the Spirit through Daniel, they shall shine like the stars forever and ever. This is extreme makeover heaven edition. We'll recognize each other. You'll see your loved one, and just for a moment, there might be a shock of unrecognizement, like, boy, you've changed. And he or she will be like, boy, you've changed. And you'll be like, but it's you. And you'll grab and embrace them, shining as the sun, Jesus says, is what he's preparing for you in the world to come, says God. And Paul says again in Thessalonians, then we who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord, and we together with the Lord forever and ever. Amen. And so that's a wonderful word if you're grieving a loss of a loved one on this All Saints Day. Jesus says to you, I tell you, in me, those who live in me, the resurrection and the life, I promise to raise you from the dead. I promise to give you life and life in my kingdom. And you'll see me face to face and meet me in my love, and you'll see your loved ones again together in my kingdom. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with men. God himself will be with them, and they shall be his people. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. In Jesus' name, amen.